The homecoming of a celebrated fashionista duo. An evening with an author whose work has been the right stuff for more than four decades. And a lawyer whose latest book features a former professor of constitutional law. Welcome, everyone, to Copyright Clearance Center's podcast series. My name is Christopher Keneally, your host for Beyond the Book. The 29th Annual Miami Book Fair International gets underway on November 11th and continues throughout the week, culminating in a weekend street fair featuring dozens of events at the downtown campus of Miami-Dade College. Joining me to discuss the cornucopia of author appearances is Lisette Mendez, who was one of the principal organizers of the Miami Book Fair and who develops and implements literary programs at the Center for Literature and Theater at Miami-Dade College, the fair's presenter. An author herself of poetry and nonfiction, Lisette has a master's degree in creative writing. And welcome to Beyond the Book, Lisette.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Well, we're looking forward to returning to Miami Book Fair. Copyright Clearance Center has been a part of the programs now for the last 4 or 5 years or so. Always a nice place to be, a very pleasant setting right there by the waterfront, and a terrific program. And just trying to single out who to talk about in this brief time we have is a chore in itself. I referenced a couple that really struck me as quite interesting. The program kicks off with an appearance by, I suppose, a power couple of the fashion world, Isabel and Ruben Toledo. They're going to be speaking about a new book that they have out. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, that's one of our events, opening day, Sunday. Isabel and Ruben Toledo are, you know, maybe not the most popular designers in terms of, you know, when you go into Macy's and you buy something off the rack. But they're definitely, such Isabel, who is a designer of the couple, you know, one of those hot couture designers that, you know, stars and royalty, you know.
And the first lady, we should mention.
And the first lady, I was going to say. And that's how she became a little bit sort of more household name than she used to be. Even though she's been a designer, you know, for more about 30 years now, very well respected, she was the one that made the beautiful dress for the first lady's inauguration, you know, 4 years back now. And so she has written a book, Roots of Style is the title. And it's a mix of memoir, sort of her philosophy about art and the life of creativity and her partnership with her husband. They've been married for, you know, 30 years. They were high school sweethearts. He's an illustrator. And they work together. She doesn't draw at all. But they work together on creating the drawings for her designs. He's also done a lot of illustrations of other kinds and does a lot of book covers, actually. This beautiful, you know, Penguin Classics book covers that he's done recently. And so they're gonna be talking about that, about their partnership, their life. They're both Cuban immigrants. They came from Cuba when they were very, you know, small children. Actually, they grew up in New York and New Jersey, but they passed through Miami, you know, where they were processed, I guess, by immigration. And the place where they're going to speak tonight, which is now a building that belongs to Miami-Dade College, is the historic Freedom Tower. It's called the Freedom Tower because it's where the Cubans were processed by immigration in the early part of the 60s when they came through Miami. So they're going to be speaking in the renovated ballroom of that same building in which they were processed so many years ago. Well, and so that's our Sunday opening, one of our Sunday opening events.
Right. Well, you know, one of the things that's so fascinating about Miami, of course, is its connection to Latin America, its multiple connections, and of course, the heritage of the Spanish-speaking population there. They come from that particular community, and the Miami Book Fair does a great many programs in Spanish itself, and I think we would be neglecting a piece of it if we didn't bring that up.
Yes. For example, we have a Native American authors program. That's what it's called. And for instance, this year we have a total of 468 authors in English and Spanish. About 80 some 90 of those are authors from Latin America and Spain and the Caribbean, the Spanish-speaking Caribbean. But yeah, Miami is, you know, it's like it's one of those places where all kinds of people from all over the world come together. But yes, definitely the Caribbean and Latin America primarily. And that's and it's interesting that you bring that up because that's basically what Tom Wolfe's new book is about, Back to Blood. It's set here in Miami, and you know, I haven't had the opportunity to read it yet. I save all the good books that I want to read for, you know, the winter vacation that we take after the fair is over. But, you know, there's been a lot of controversy, a lot of people, you know, sort of expecting it to see how he's portraying Miami. And a lot of it has to do with the class, you know, with the story is very much rooted in that cultural mix and that clash of culture sometimes. You know, it's going to be a great evening. He's actually going to be interviewed on stage by Manny Diaz, who was mayor of Miami, a very, you know, depending on who you ask, but a very beloved mayor who, interestingly enough, has a new book out, his first book about Miami and about his years as mayor of Miami during, I guess, the boom in real estate, a real big boom in real estate here in the 90s. And he's going to be presenting that book next Friday. So, but on this Sunday, he'll be in conversation with Tom Wolfe.
Well, that's a great doubleheader. And, you know, Tom Wolfe, author of The Right Stuff and Bonfire, The Vanities, a journalist at first, then a novelist. And I understand that the new book is based on a lot of reporting. So he spent some time in Miami. He didn't just imagine it. He lived it.
Oh, yeah, no, he spent a lot of time here, did a lot of research. Actually, later in the evening, we're going to screen the documentary, Tom Wolfe Gets Back to Blood, which was created by Miami Herald reporter Oscar Corral, who served as a bit of tour guide, I guess you could say, for Tom Wolfe during the time that he was here researching. You know, took him to the different neighborhoods, introduced him to people, that kind of thing, and he captured it all in this documentary that, you know, will be showing that night as well.
Well, Lisa, you know, you've had a number of really top-notch authors appear at the fair over the years, and some people who we might not think of first as authors, but certainly who've had best-selling books. I was there one year not so long ago when a certain senator from the state of Illinois packed the house with his latest book, and he then went on to become, well, that's right, President of the United States. And this year, you've got Jeffrey Toobin, who is the author of the book The Oath, The Obama Yes. White House and the Supreme Court. He'll be speaking on Wednesday, November 14th. And you know, obviously, Jeffrey Toobin is one of our great reporters on the law for The New Yorker and for CNN. And this sounds like a terrific book.
Oh, yes, it is. Actually, this is one of the most popular evenings with this year. The tickets went on sale this week, and you know, people are rushing in to get them. And especially, with the reelection and the way that, you know, things are going to unfold in the next 4 years, I think people are going to be, you know, are going to be lining up to get in.
Right, well, it's certainly who was going to wind up choosing the next Supreme Court justices was one of the considerations that people had in mind when they chose to vote.
Exactly, and I think, you know, this book is going to be very popular. It's going to sell really well because, you know, there has been so much about that in the news in the past, you know, so even people who might not have been paying that much attention or who were paying attention but maybe not thinking, you know, not really, you know, trying to think ahead so much, will now, I think, want to sort of go back to read this bit of history and you know, to help them sort of illuminate what's coming next.
Right. And we should tell people, you know, the street fair, it's quite an event. It takes place over the 3 days of the weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's outdoors. You can almost guarantee a beautiful day there in Miami in November. Very much an event for the family. And you've got a program there, which I believe you're involved in the organization of. It's called the Generation Genius Days, which encourages learning and imagination through books. Tell us about that.
Well, yeah, Miami Book Fair has always had an area, the fair called Children's Alley, where we set up pop-up venues, sort of fitting, you know, 25, 30 kids. Each of them usually was dedicated to a book or to a theme. And this year, what we did was we also had the Center for Literature and Theater, which is our parent organization. We do a lot of children's programming year-round. We bring kids to the fair from schools on the Friday. You know, we work a lot with children and you know, encouraging literacy, encouraging learning, and so this is not so much a new program, but sort of a reimagining of the different parts of our literacy and learning programs for children, and bringing them all together, looking at them all as a whole, and asking ourselves, well, how are they speaking to each other? What are we accomplishing here? What are the kids going to learn? What do we want the kids to learn? What do we want them to do? What do we want them to get out of this? So we, like I said, we reimagined the different venues. We created new ones. We've dedicated each of those pop-up venues to a different, kind of like a different subject area, learning subject area. I was inspired a little bit as my, I have little kids, and as my, when my 4-year-old started preschool, I realized this, you know, I started paying attention to the way he was learning and what he was learning and how, you know, how they were working with him in the classroom, teaching him. And this was kind of the inspiration. So we have an area where the kids are going to learn all about art and create artworks of their own, all tied to books. So, you know, we found all kinds of storybooks that had to do with art and making art and history of art and different artists. Some of them are not stories, some of them are nonfiction, but again, picture books and for children. Another one is about history and culture and, you know, our different peoples from around the world, and especially Florida history, which, you know, has so many different cultures, you know, and so many different, you know, ways of being. Another one is on music. Another one is on science. Another one is on health and wellness and the body and how the body works. And then there's one for little kids, the like 0 to 3, you know, new 3 months, I guess. No one's going to bring a newborn, but, you know, 3 months to 3-year-olds that they can sort of just explore with their hands and things like that in a really, you know, an environment that's just set up for them. And all in each of these venues, we're going to have readings and activities and, you know, they'll be able to make things and learn things and experiment. I'm really excited about the science one because they're going to be building robots and learning about, you know, different, you know, scientific principles and experimenting with them. You know, it's like a real hands-on learning experience. And again, for each activity, there's a story. For each activity, there's a book on, you know, a nonfiction book. We've partnered with different organizations around the city, from the Science Museum for the Science Lab. We've partnered with the Children's Museum that they're going to be doing all the music, and kids are going to get to try out different instruments. They're going to get to listen to different types of music and read about them, you know, from jazz to classical and rock and roll, the same thing.
It sounds just great, and we look forward to seeing you there. And I can just say from my own experience that, you know, the part that is so important about the fair is the book part, and every event, the author appearances, the children's programs that you're talking about, really all do help drive book sales, which of course is very important for the authors and for the publishers.
Yeah, they do. I mean, people buy books and by the thousands. I say, you know, people say, oh, nobody reads anymore or whatever. And I'm like, you have to come out to the book fair and just witness it. I mean, people do read. I think there's just sort of like, everybody just loves the sound of death knell of the book or the death knell of reading culture. I mean, things change and, you know, we add, you know, we add new technologies to our lives, and, you know, that makes everyone uneasy at first. But, you know, people still listen to the radio, even though we have television, and, you know, people still watch television, even though we have the internet and other things. So I think, you know, people love to read, and they're going to continue to love to read, and writers are going to, you know, people who want to tell stories are going to continue to try and write them down. And that's it's no place is it as evident as Miami Book Fair. You know, you come here and there's, you know, thousands and thousands of people thronging the streets, families bringing their kids, kids who are just, you could just see their eyes, you know, kind of big as saucers and shiny when they see all the activities and all the things that they have to do and how it's all because of the books. It's all because of the books.
Absolutely. I've seen it myself. And if you want any proof the book is alive, do join Lisette Mendez, who is one of the principal organizers of the Miami Book Fair and develops and implements literary programs at the Center for Literature and Theater at Miami-Dade College, and all the many thousands of people, hundreds of authors, who'll be there this week, the week of November 11th. Lisette Mendez, thank you so much for joining us today on Beyond the Book.
Thank you so much. It was very enjoyable.
We should tell people as well that Cupright Clearance Center will be a part of the Miami Book Fair on Saturday, the Idea Exchange, panel discussions and conversations on literature, politics, and more. I'll be moderating two panels that we will also podcast later on the Beyond the Book series. In the morning at 11 o'clock on the Book Beat, we've got a Meet the Reporters session with Andrew Albanese, our colleague here on Beyond the Book, who appears every week. He's from Publishers Weekly, of course, as well as Alan Chews, well known to most of our listeners, I'm sure, as the book critic for All Things Considered on National Public Radio. In the afternoon at 4:30 on Saturday, November 17th, a special program on self-publishing featuring Jenny Pedrosa, co-founder of the Writers Coffee Shop, Matt Kavner from Vook, Mark Coker, founder of Smashwords, and MJ Rose, who is author of What to Do Before Your Book Launch. I'll moderate that panel as well. So if you can be in Miami anywhere near it, do hope to join us there at the fair. If not, stay tuned to Beyond the Book, and you'll be hearing those programs coming up in the weeks that follow. Beyond the Book is produced by Copyright Clearance Center, a global rights broker for the world's most sought-after materials, including millions of books and ebooks, journals, newspapers, magazines, and blogs, as well as images, movies, and television shows. You can follow Beyond the Book on Twitter, find us on Facebook, and subscribe to the free podcast series on iTunes or at the Copyright Clearance Center website, copyright.com. Just click on Beyond the Book. Our engineer is Jeremy Brisky of Burst Marketing. My name is Christopher Keneally. For all of us at Copyright Clearance Center, thanks for listening to Beyond the Book.